Good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. Coming up this hour, updates from the Manhattan Fire Department, a preview of Everybody Counts later on in the show as well. But we start things off, as we typically do on a Wednesday morning, with one of our local school districts. And today it's USD 383, Manhattan Ogden Schools. Joining us via Zoom today, Superintendent Dr. Marvin Wade. Good morning, Dr. Wade.
Good morning, Brandon.
Always a pleasure. And Jardine Coleman, school board president, joins us as
good
well.
Good morning. Yeah. Thank you. Good morning.
Good to talk to both of you. I think it's been a while since I've had a chance to talk to both of you here. Dr. Wade, we've kind of, our schedules haven't been aligning lately.
No, they haven't. The last couple of calls with you I've had to miss, and I really appreciate Dr. Haug filling in for me.
Well,
you know, I appreciate hearing you say about everybody counts that you're going to talk about that, because that's a big community event occurring Saturday, August 7th, and I just encourage people to attend that. So I'm glad to hear you're going to talk about that some more.
Yep, we agree. Debbie Nuss is a big part of that, and she's going to join us here around 9:45 this morning. That's a great place to start here, because we've seen more people getting vaccinated, and I know your position probably hasn't changed a whole lot, Dr. Wade. Encouraging folks to get the vaccine and to take the precautions, because we have seen a spike in cases here.
We've seen the spike here locally and across the nation, especially with that Delta virus, that it's just really hitting people hard. That it's powerful. It's highly transmissible, and just it's different than what we experienced last year at this time. So, we continue to encourage people to get vaccinated, that the medical community keeps saying vaccinations the number one thing we can do to get out of this pandemic. And we know that students under 12, children under 12 are not able to get a vaccination yet, but they are working on that. And, we're hearing that maybe midwinter one will be available for them. But in the meantime, the rest of us need to do our part to help keep them safe.
And I know that there's been efforts here locally and even at the school district level. Last Friday, there was opportunities for people to get vaccinated. And I know there's some more coming up, I think, next week with the back to school stuff on August 10th and 11th. Is that right?
That's correct. That the Raleigh County Health Department's really been working with us and entities all across the area to give whatever opportunity can be given for people to get vaccinated. So it's really pretty easy to go and get vaccinated in our community right now. And it has been for a while.
Yes, it has. Well, we've seen a number of school districts across the state implementing mask policies. The USD 383 made its announcement, I think, late last week, around Thursday or Friday. Let's talk a little bit about that here tonight, because it will be a discussion item on the agenda in the superintendent's report.
Boy, that is correct. I mean, we did come out with the announcement that in all of our schools, early learning up through grade 12, that all of our buildings, people will be required to wear a mask. That's students, staff, visitors, whether you're vaccinated or unvaccinated. So the board's going to hear a report on that tonight. It's an informational report tonight. The board's not going to take action, but we want a chance to be able to talk about what's in our plan, why it's in our plan, why it's in the best interest of the school district and our community to take this step right now. And then I'll make a request for the board to have a special meeting here before school starts to take action on it. But wanted a chance to have the discussion tonight about our plan.
Now, the plan says until about September 24th. What goes into that kind of decision? I mean, how do you make set a date knowing that things could change on a dime here?
Well, in our medical advisory group, we talked about how we had a data dashboard last year that we posted to every Wednesday. We want to continue that, but we also are not quite sure what our metrics are going to be this year. We know we'll continue to look at positivity rate, attendance rate, number of people quarantined, those things. But there's some other factors like vaccination rate in the community that we want to add to that. So we don't want to get locked into people thinking that we're going to have to wear masks all year long. But we also want to look at the metrics we have in order to decide when it's an appropriate time to stop using masks or other mitigation measures. So we thought the first month of school can give us some baseline data that we can look at. We'll get established. And then by September 24th, we can look at the data, look at what's going on here and other places, and then decide what's going to be our next course of action. So that allows us some time to get in, get situated, get our dashboard up and running, and then revisit with medical advisory next steps. So that's the reason for that date.
Jardine, I'll bring you on here in the conversation. In terms of safely starting the school year here, considering what we've learned here over the past school year, how confident are you that the district can continue to operate as safely as possible?
That's a really challenging question to answer. I think we are doing the best that we can. I think in the last school year, we learned a lot about our capabilities, and we learned a lot about ourselves as individuals, but also just the availability of things that can help us to pile up those mitigating factors, the hand washing, the sanitizing, our ability to social distance, all those things, including mask wearing. I think we staff are ready to do the best they can. And, you know, we don't control the ultimate variable that is COVID-19. And so we will just continue to use all of the factors that we can to help to stop the spread, to keep our students safe and healthy, our staff healthy. But we also will be prepared to turn in a different direction if we need to. I think we learned last year that that we can do that. And so hopefully we can continue in that direction this year.
All right. And when we look at where we were last year at this time, masking was the same kind of thing. It was required. Mm-hmm. We adjusted to that. And we're in such a better position now as far as being able to have our students all in the schools 5 days a week, where last year, you know, with hybrid learning, we weren't able to do that. So, you know, we've got a lot of positives going on for us now that I don't want to lose sight of the fact that main thing we want to do is have our students in school 5 days a week learning in a safe environment. And we're really doing everything we can to provide that environment.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think we did learn, you know, that our staff and our students, although they may express some discomfort, that we can do a full school day in masks. And so that's what we're going to do to keep everyone safe for now.
Yeah. I know there's been pushback on this. It's no secret. A lot of folks have pushed back on the masks here, not just locally, but nationally. But even regardless of that, do you feel like maybe coming into this school year, there's a little more acceptance of the masks than there was last year?
I think generally speaking, in the general population, I would say so. I think if you were opposed to masks a year ago, I don't think that opinion has maybe changed. And I think if you were okay or settled into a mask a year ago, you're probably in the same place. I don't know that it's necessarily shifted, but I think that people have gotten used to seeing other people in masks, gotten used to having to utilize a mask in certain spaces in the community. And so people maybe will expect it a little bit easier or respond a little bit easier as those things start to change in businesses beyond like the school district. But I don't know that people have necessarily shifted their individual opinions about masks over the last year.
All right. And we did go through that spell this summer where, you know, we were wearing masks last year. We got used to it. Then this summer, we did not have to wear masks. We could choose to, but we didn't have to. We got used to that, and we were looking forward to the school year being mask-free. But 2-3 weeks ago, things really changed, as people know. And mm-hmm. Now we're back in the situation where we really need to do this. And, you know, it's not just that the Delta virus is out there and it's highly transmissible, but there's also more information now about things like the breakthrough cases where people who have been vaccinated, and it's relatively rare, but they still test positive for COVID, and that some of these fully vaccinated people can still transmit the COVID virus to others. So we've got students in school who can't be vaccinated. If we've got individuals not wearing masks who can still be transmitting the COVID virus to those students, it's a dangerous situation for us to be in. And this might be a good place to add too that we also don't have the hybrid learning and remote learning options we had mm-hmm. last year. That the Kansas legislature did pass a bill that school districts cannot have hybrid learning and remote learning. It needs to be, you know, in person learning this year. So that, you know, last year we talked about tools in our toolbox, and one of them being to be able to do social distancing. Well, as we have more students in our schools, we're going to have less opportunities for the social distancing. So we really need to rely on those other tools like the masking, the sanitizer, the other things President Coleman was talking about a minute ago.
We don't have the opportunity for students to quarantine who maybe aren't having symptoms, and their ability to work from home is gone. There's not going to be an option to use a remote education to supplement if a student has to quarantine. And that is a huge factor also as we consider how do we keep all of our students in school.
How much of a benefit is going to be at the elementary level now that the sixth graders are moving up to the middle school, that you'll be able to maybe space people out a little bit more? Is that going to be a possibility there, Dr. Wade?
That will be helpful to us with having, you know, Oliver Brown as a 10th elementary, moving sixth grade up and the expansion at the middle schools for those sixth graders, that is going to provide us more square footage. But we also have those students coming back from remote learning from last year. So it's going to be a little bit of both.
Gotcha. Okay.
But we won't be able to do, you know, and during the course of last year, we saw where some of the guidelines were changing from being 6 feet for social distancing to 3 feet with other mitigation measures. So that's definitely helpful to everyone. But we're going to continue doing everything we can with the social distancing within the spaces that we have.
All right. I need to take a quick time out. So take a break, and we'll have more with our USD 383 officials here in just a moment. News Radio KMAN.